Episode 80.
He's going to have to want it, and he's going to have to work for it. I worked. My dad didn't. I didn't come out of Auburn. I know you didn't ask this question, but my dad. I didn't come out of Auburn, and my dad said, "Here you go. Here's the keys to the kingdom."
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to episode 80 with Michael Morgan of Frost Transmissions in Rainbow City, Alabama. Today's episode is sponsored by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. Every time I reach a decade milestone like today's 80th episode, I reflect on how nothing is possible without you, my listener. So thanks so much for being here and engaged in aftermarket wisdom of all kinds. Now, enjoy an easygoing episode with Michael Morgan of Frost Transmissions. It's so rare that third-generation businesses strive like Frost Transmissions has. You'll understand how when you hear Michael's story. This humble guy has built a great team and shares great wisdom on the company's and his personal success. So why listen? You may relate to Michael's discussion on him moving to a new shop management system with all the latest high-tech improvements in productivity and marketing. Dealing with his boldest decision to close a 53-year-old location, that's a big move for him. Making sure his greatest strength helps the business prosper. And hiring a co-op technician. He started on the day before we conducted the interview. A great story on bringing youth into the industry. So you're going to love this. Here we go with Michael Morgan of Frost Transmissions. A warm welcome to Michael Morgan of Frost Transmissions from Rainbow City, Alabama. Well, Michael, we met at Apex in Las Vegas.
Yes, yeah, a couple weeks ago.
It was great. Great to see you and great to have you on now, finally. Hey, when did you know the day that you wanted to join the family business?
I don't know that I ever knew. I grew up here. And I went to, when I graduated high school, I went to Auburn University and got a business degree in operations management. And I came home, and for 6 or 8 months, I did nothing. I worked in a gym and hung out. And one day I came to my dad and said, I want to do this, Daddy. And he said, okay, well, let's try it for a year. And You're still young. You know, I mean, I was 22. And if it doesn't work out for me or for you, we'll give it a year, and then we'll reevaluate. And that was in May of 1994, and it's now November of 2015.
What a smart dad. I mean, a really smart dad.
He was, thank you.
Yeah, and when I think about that, I came from a family business, and inherently it's in your genes. You're not going anywhere but the family business, and you had a choice. And your dad served it up so nice. I think that's, wow, that's great. Touches my heart. So what gets you out of bed in the morning?
My wife and my son.
Got it. That's your why.
My family.
That's
yeah.
Your why, huh?
Yep, it is.
Good, good, good.
Every day.
So when in your life have you been so passionately focused on an activity, you lost track of time and what you were doing because it's something that you absolutely love to do? What is it?
About 2 years ago, and I never thought I would answer this way, but about 2 years ago, I was asked to give a presentation to the Tennessee School Bus, Tennessee People Transportation Mechanics class.
Yeah, yeah.
Seminar.
Yeah.
And, or about 3 years ago, I was asked to do it the next year. And I said, sure, no problem. And as the year went on, I was preparing my seminar, they called me and said, by the way, we're going to give you Friday morning. And Friday morning is one presenter for 3 hours. And I went, oh, okay. And I thought, I'll never get through 3 hours of this. I've been doing Allison transmissions since 1997. I mean, I know a lot about them, but I'm thinking, what am I going to talk about for 3 hours?
Sure.
And I was literally rewriting the seminar the night before, or my presentation, because once I got there, their technology didn't match the laptop that I had put videos together for them and all kinds of stuff, and they didn't have a way to use it off my MacBook. Okay. And so I literally was rewriting it the night before, and I'm thinking, there is no way that I'm going to get 3 hours out of this. I stood up the next morning with 5 bullet points and a few slides for a slideshow, and the guy that was with me, one of my employees that went with me, finally came over and said, they said, you got to wrap it up. And I totally had no idea. I mean, I thought I'd been going 30 minutes and apparently I'd been going 3 hours, you know?
So.
And it was, that was, and I've done a lot of things in my life, but that was a heck of an experience, you know? And I guess I just got so wrapped up in what I was talking about because I'd done it for so long and I did enjoy, I do enjoy it, that it just came.
You were nervous and natural all at the same time. It just flowed, huh?
Pretty much, yeah. The first 5 minutes, I was scared to death, and then after that, it just, here it came, you know.
So how many more times have you done something like that?
I have, not in business. I have had to at church and different things,
okay,
not
sure.
for 3 hours, but not certainly not for 3 hours, but, you know, I've had to do some things at church, and I'm chairman of a private school here in town, chairman of the board, and so I've had to do things there, you know, but not 3 hours worth.
Well, good for you. I'm glad glad that flowed and you feel very comfortable doing it. Hey, Michael, if you didn't need money, what would you do in life?
Sit on the beach with my wife and my son.
Wow.
I would never wear shoes again. Flip-flops would be the most it gets. And I would have a state-of-the-art gym so that I could either work out or sit on the beach. And that's what I would do 24 hours a day.
And that's the truth.
And that is the truth.
Great answer. Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. What's your biggest strength as an entrepreneur?
Dealing with my coworkers. And I use the word coworkers, not employees. They are my employees, but we're all in this together.
Sure, I understand.
And it took me a while to figure out that we are all in this together as I aged some, you know. And I believe it was Richard Branson, and I know he's listening to this, so I'm sorry to misquote him probably. But that he said, you don't have to take care of your customers. If you take care of your employees will take care of your customers.
You're right.
Yep. Or I'm paraphrasing, probably.
Yeah, very close to being right.
And we work as a team here, and it's that feeling of family and team here that I'm most proud of, and I think all of our customers see that when they come in. And the other one is the other side of that is I'm a numbers guy. You know, I really enjoy the digging into the accounting side and doing the numbers, those are probably my two biggest strengths.
And how about the things you have to work on that you'd rather have someone else do?
I'm an introvert. I'm not necessarily a people person, believe it or not, until I get to know people really well. And I struggle talking to customers. I've been doing this 21 years, and I still to this day at times struggle the first time out with a customer. Now, if they're a repeat customer and we've got to know each other, that's a whole different thing. But new customers, it's really strange for the way I am, but that's one of the things that it's just I'm not good at.
Thanks for being so honest with me. When you and I were in Vegas sitting down just shooting the breeze, you said your dad was a great people person. Is that true?
Yes. My dad, as a phrase we use in the South, my dad could talk to a stop sign and carry on a conversation. You know, my dad was an extrovert completely. I never met a stranger. Always found something in common, no matter what it was, no matter what their background was, race, creed, religion, did not matter. My dad would find something in common within the first couple of minutes and go from there. And that's the one thing he needed to give me that I didn't. My mother's I'm more like my mother, who is more of kind of an introvert.
So, Michael, you grew up with your dad watching him be a people person. Did anything ever rub off?
It did. I'm better. It's just my nature is to be an introvert.
Okay.
Now, I'll listen. The biggest thing I learned was to listen, and eventually people will tell you.
Very good.
If you just listen long enough, shut up and listen at times, you know, and you come to find out that maybe the reason they're grapping at you about their car doesn't have anything to do with you or your business. It has to do with something that's external to everything.
Right. Yeah.
But they need somebody to take it out on, and you happen to be the guy standing there saying, I need X amount of dollars from you.
Well, listening is one of those top communication qualities, and if you've got that, you're more than halfway there. What's the best advice you ever got?
Just do what you do. You know who you are. You know what you do. You know what you're good at. You know what you need to work on. But just do what you do and be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Just be who you are.
Excellent. Your boldest decision you've ever made?
Besides asking my wife to marry me.
Yeah, that's usually pretty bold.
That was pretty bold, yeah. Business decision. We had the original location that my granddad started about 2.5 years ago. I shut it down after 53 years.
Wow.
And that was in Gadsden, which is next to Rainbow City. Rainbow City's like a suburb. And we had an automobile shop in Rainbow City. And there was a building next to us that was big enough to house my Allison division. And that property became available, and my wife and I acted on it and purchased it. And I moved my Allison division, which is my commercial on highway division, to Rainbow City with my current automobile shop that I had here, and shut down the original location after 53 years.
Big move. Hey, if you could go back in time and do one thing over, what would it be?
I would have taken my parents' offer to move to the Caribbean for 6 months when I graduated from college and work on a boat. How's that for an answer?
And that's getting it out of your system, too.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a great answer. Actually, great. So what's your preferred way of getting training to your technicians?
I prefer live seminars. However, we're moving more and more into webinars these days, obviously, as everybody around the industry knows. And we are setting up in one of our conference rooms, a computer, TV, whole system to be able to do live webinars during lunch or after hours or before hours. And then the guys also attend live training throughout the year.
Do you have a minimum requirement of hours that the techs need to go through every year to stay in a competency level with you?
Nothing on paper.
Okay.
We do, because we are, at least for the most part, a transmission specialty shop, we do attend 1 to 2 transmission specialty seminars a year. They're usually in Atlanta, which is about 2 hours from us. And then as we've expanded our offering, we've been attending O'Reilly's has some local seminars, and Federated has some webinars and different things that the guys have been participating in as we expand the general service side of our business.
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is real hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers. There, you can get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. When online is your perfect way to learn, do it with Guru's 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of training course options. And with the Guru's on-the-go technology fleet, they bring the latest products and demos right to your shop. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards loyalty program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts brands. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Gurus training, support, and get in on the rewards. When guys go to training, your techs go to training and they come back, do you debrief them in any way to ask them, hey, tell me what you learned?
Yes. Tell me what you learned. Tell me the one or two things that stood out, you know, to you. And let's look at it. Let's talk about it. Because sometimes I go and sometimes I don't. Depends on what I have going on in my life.
I understand.
And they all, you know, they bring back books and the materials. And what's always fun is when sometime after that a vehicle comes in and one of the guys goes, hey, we just went over that in that seminar about 6 months ago. He goes, he pulls his materials out, and instead of us beating our head against a wall for 6 hours, we solved the problem in no time flat.
It's so great to be able to go back and look at the reference material that you got.
Yes.
And if all of that is saved on some kind of bookshelf somewhere in your business, it is just an invaluable resource, isn't it?
I agree completely.
Any upgrades to equipment or investments on the horizon for your company?
Yes, currently we just had a server installed. We're upgrading our shop management software. That should go live December 1st. I mean, it's installed. We're just working with getting everything set up. And the next course of action over the next month or two from that is providing all the guys and Melissa, all my employees, with iPads. Because our shop management software has a mobile app so that we can check cars in. The step is to eventually get to a paperless,
right,
or as paperless as possible workflow. And so that's step one was finding a shop management software, which we did. Step two was installing the server and the software. Step three is getting that up and running. And then the next step will be to purchase the iPads for the guys so that not only they can do the paperless workflow, but they'll also have Mitchell and AllData and TRNW and the different things that we subscribe to at the vehicle with them, as opposed to walking back into their office and having to look something up and walk back and forth and whatever.
You just mentioned workflow just a few minutes ago. Do you have any unique systems internally right now that you've upgraded or improved that has improved your workflow?
As simple as it sounds, for the first time in ever, we have got to the point where we have so many vehicles here, fortunately, that we invested a minimal amount of money, but got the hang tags with the numbers to put the keys on. We were just keeping them with, I know this is silly and people are listening going to go, God, this guy. But yeah, we would write the customer's name on a tag and put it on their keys. And it's to the point where we can't keep up, which is a good problem to have. So, you know, I know that's an extremely simple, but it leads into what we're doing going forward. As far as at that point, the tag number will be able to be on the customer's work order that the guys can look at on their tablet and go from there and make it a lot simpler for
nothing
everybody.
Like the present to make an improvement.
That's right.
So you do automotive besides you do, you know, big stuff, Allison transmissions, a lot of school buses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So customer retention, big today. What's the best retention tactic that you have?
The best one that I have currently is every week Melissa's my assistant, sends thank you cards to people who picked their vehicle up that week.
Okay.
Depending on what it was. And we have people call us and say, I've never had anybody do this. I had one customer come in this week for his just normal recheck. We do a 15-day recheck after we build a transmission. And just went on and on. I've never had anybody send me a card after I spent money with them telling me thank you. And he spent a significant amount of money. And that gets people's attention, and they tell everybody they know, and I see it, you know, online in different places.
Have you ever used the smartphone, tablet at all to stay in touch with your customers? Texting, Facebooking?
No, Facebook, yes. We do have a Facebook page. It's not the most active page in the world. But as far as texting and emailing, trying to get email addresses sometimes from customers is like pulling teeth because they think you're going to spam them to death, which is not the case.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to get better at that because as we move forward in our software, we'll have the ability to email estimates to the customer with photos of their vehicle and the defective parts and, you know, take a picture of it, attach it to the estimate and send it to the customer and then follow. Then the plan is to follow them up with a phone call, you know, within 10 or 15 minutes to go over the estimate.
Well, I recommend to our listeners here that they go back and listen to episode 60 with Greg Buckley. He talks all about that.
Okay.
And for you too, before you implement it, and if not, Greg Buckley would be more than happy to take a phone call from you and say, okay, how do I start all this stuff up? Because if you're moving to some new software, I'm sure it's going to do all that stuff. How do you see technology impacting your business today?
It changes constantly. We're always having to keep up. We went from 727 and C6 and 350 GM transmissions with three speeds with nothing, no electronics, to we're now in nine-speed automatics with eight solenoids and wires running everywhere and staying ahead of the game, being able to diagnose the failure. I use this all the time. My granddad could get in a car and ride around the block and go, yep, you need a transmission because the transmission slipped. Now you get in a car and ride around the block and the transmission slips and you got to make sure that the engine's working properly, that the exhaust is fine, that this and that and the other, because everything talks to each other with all the systems that you easily could have an engine problem, which is causing the transmission to act up because it doesn't know what it's supposed to be doing.
That is such a profound analysis of why it's so difficult to do what you do today and what all technicians do today.
It is. It is. You've really got to stay up on training and technology or you're going to get left behind. You're not going to be able to do this.
Wow. Good stuff. Out of all your community efforts, all your philanthropic efforts, what's given you the most satisfaction in your community?
Working with the church.
Okay.
I was on the board of directors. We served three-year terms and had the pleasure and the honor of being able to be what we call the senior warden. We're Episcopalian, the okay. senior warden or the president of the board. And while it was extremely challenging and at times I felt like I was in a washing machine, that came out the other end a different person. And not in a bad way. I came out a different person in a good way. And I learned a lot more patience. And then took the step, moved from there to being the chairman of the day school that our church owns, the private school that our church owns. And again, a lot of challenges. But I think I like being involved with the school more because that's kids. And I have an 8-year-old son, and they're the future.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And we've got to do everything we can to prepare them in this crazy world that we live in.
Any plans to go out and talk to the high schools and convince them about the great work the technicians have in the industry? And did you ever recruit someone from a vocational school to come and work for you?
He just started yesterday.
No.
Yes.
How cool.
A couple weeks ago, I had been looking for another tech because we're again fortunate enough to have that much work. And about 2 weeks ago, I had a vehicle in here to work on. And as I was talking to the customer, he is the co-op Votech guy with the local county school district here, or local county schools. And I just casually mentioned, if you've got anybody that's come through your program or is in the process of, I would even be glad to work with high school kids, seniors, you know, work a half a day and give them some work. I'm looking for another tech. And within 2 or 3 hours, a young man comes in and says, Mr. Hooper sent me down here to fill out an application that you're could be hiring. And he filled out his application, and we talked for a little while. And he started yesterday.
That's a story. We've been talking about this on the podcast for so long. I've been asking this question over and over again, and you have an instant where it actually worked. And I'm doing a future interview for a young man who owns his own business who went to work at the place he ended up buying as a co-op student in high school.
Oh, wow.
Well, this is an incredible moment going on here. Well, congratulations to you. And there needs to be more of that done inside the industry. Now, my next question is, are you going to create a mentoring program for him? And there's so many different angles on being sure that this young man finds, you know, fruitful opportunities in our business based on how you connect him and mentor him.
Yeah, I haven't thought of it in the aspect of a mentoring program.
I heard, and I think it was Donnie Cipher who said about mentoring programs, and I may be wrong that it was Donnie, but it was about, please don't bring in a young tech, wannabe, and give him the menial jobs. Here, you just started, you sweep the floor, you do those kinds of menial tasks. And they say, give them stuff to really engage them and to move them forward and share the duties inside the shop. Just because you're low on the totem pole doesn't mean that you can't do something meaningful.
I agree completely, and I'll use Matthew as an example, is that yesterday was his first morning. For the first hour, we cleaned up, he and I and all the guys, because it had been a rough Friday, a long Friday, and we like to keep the shop clean, so we cleaned up. Yeah. And then we put him under a GMC truck with a 4L80E transmission and said, there it is, have at it, come ask us if you have a question. And you know, 2 or 3 hours later, he comes out from under the, I mean, it's on the lift. I don't mean to say that it was on the ground, yeah, but right. Here he comes with the transmission on the jack. Okay, what do you want me to do next? You know, I mean, and so we put him on a van and he pulled it out, and now he's doing we're back to doing a couple of cleanup things, you know, housekeeping things. But no, within the first hour that he worked here, I had him under a vehicle going, because I didn't hire him to sweep the floors. I hired him to work.
Wonderful. Excellent. Do you have a personal 5 to 10 year plan? Where are you going to be in 5 to 10 years? What do you want to do?
In 12 years. I have a 12-year plan.
You have a 12-year plan?
12-year plan. And the reason that doesn't have to do with my age, it has to do with my son.
All right.
Who is 8.
Yeah.
And even at 20, he may not know what he wants to do,
yeah,
but he might have an idea. And that puts me at 55. And the plan would be, what I'm working towards, mm-hmm, is that at 55, If Trey says, Daddy, this is what I want to do, mm-hmm, when I get out of school, then I'll keep working. And I'll do exactly as best I can for him what my dad did for me, mm-hmm, and bring him along, and what my granddad did for my dad, and bring him along until he's ready to do it himself without my help. If he says, Daddy, I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a fireman or whatever, I don't want to be in this business, it's for whatever reason, then I plan on having the business at that age, at 55, where the business itself is in a perfect point to be sold.
Mm-hmm. You're third generation, and the statistics for third generations are they're in the single digits of survivorship. And so you get all kinds of kudos from me. And, you know, to be in the third generation of business and to even think that it could go into the fourth, yet give your son the choice and not assume that this is all his. He's going to actually have to want it. And that is the correct way to do it.
He's going to have to want it, and he's going to have to work for it. I worked. My dad didn't. I didn't come out of Auburn. I know you didn't ask this question, but I didn't come out of Auburn, and my dad said, here you go. Here's the keys to the kingdom.
Right.
No, I came out of Auburn and I learned how to take transmissions out of cars, and I learned how to build. I spent most of my time in the Allison for various reasons. And But I learned how to diagnose Allison transmissions, remove them from the vehicle, disassemble them, wash them, reassemble them, install them, do the final test drive, and deliver them to the customer from one end to the other. So I worked. I didn't sit in the office and answer the phone, prop my feet up and drink coffee and surf Facebook, although we didn't have Facebook back then. But
and you knew this wasn't a desk job. You knew that.
No. And I don't mean my dad was mean about it. He wasn't. But if you're going to, I always say you can't ask, or you can't, I guess you can, but my philosophy is don't ask somebody to do something you either haven't done yourself or aren't willing to do yourself.
Great. Great leadership skills. Well, Michael Morgan, Frost Transmissions, 55-year, third-generation guy. It's flown by. Thanks so much. But one final question. Give us some great words to live by.
I go back to be yourself. Be true to yourself. Be who you are. You just have to live true to who you are and what your values are and what you truly believe. And if you do that and you do the right things for the right reasons, and I'm stealing this, but if you do the right things for the right reasons, money and everything else will take care of itself.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.